Welcome to the podcast of 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps here on May the 23rd, 2026. Again, welcome to the podcast. Several months ago, I was requested by a supporter, Brother Nick, to review an interview of Dr. Lauren Murray by Dr. Daryl Hamamoto on the various topics that she was questioned about. And she's a brilliant woman. She's got several degrees. She's an authority on many topics. And I believe I met her one time at one of the meetings I was at in Southern California many years ago, 2001, I believe, the first ConCon conspiracy conference. But she's a very lovely person. She's very nice. She's not saved. She doesn't know the Lord. But she's just well-spoken and a very civilized, decent white woman that is very kind and very caring and is motivated to help the world in its face of its present debauchery, let's put it that way. And Brother Nick asked me to critique what she had to say. So this won't take very long. And I will say that much of what she said was very interesting. She talked about skull and bones. The question is, who rules? Who's at the top? And she blames the ancient Iranian tribes, the bloodlines, and she says has controlled the world for 5,000 years. Well, I don't believe that. she does. I don't believe her explanation of it. She says Italians are Iranians and a few other things that I find just simply not true. But that's not important. She does expose the Jesuits. At about 17 minutes and 20 seconds, she says the Jesuits are the ones who rule the planet. And she's right. But then she goes to show that the Jesuits are controlled by this Iranian bloodline, or she seeks to assert that, which I reject. Now, Farnese, of course, was the open backer of the creation of the Jesuit order, but the Jesuit order had been created before Paul III brought it into the papacy in 1540. It had been created in 1534 by Loyola, Spanish Aragon Templar, so... What I've always taught is that the Lord had his Martin Luther, which broke the spiritual power of Rome in Germany and other places. And also, remember, Martin Luther never wrote on the Jews and their lies. I have a course on that. I'll be putting up a couple broadcasts that you can listen to it, which I've made several years ago. But you have Martin Luther, and then the devil raises up Ignatius Loyola. This is the great Hegelian dialectic of the last 500 years. And the Iranians are not part of this. It's the Jesuits and their counter-reformation versus the Calvinists and the Reformation. That's the dialectic. It's first theological, then philosophical, and then physical on the battlefield. And that's how we understand the last 500 years. And this is for you, Generation Z, since you've not been taught anything. This should be very helpful for you. So, she talks about this woman who was the, I believe, the chancellor at UC Davis. And she tells about the terrible things that have gone on there and their secret scientific experiments and so on. But this all goes back, as she said, to the intelligence community, the CIA, the Secretary of Defense. And she talks about Jenna Napolitano, who is a Roman Catholic and a Dame of Malta. She was UC president. You have Leon Panetta, who was CIA and then Secretary of Defense. He was also Knight of Malta. They're running the drugs together. Of course, this has been covered many times before. The CIA and the drug trade works together. And we see that in the book Dark Alliance by Gary Webb, for which he was shot in the back of the head twice for writing that book. Just like that gentleman that wrote... The Octopus Murders by Danny Casarelli. He was murdered. He was also killed by the same organization that killed Gary Webb. So when you get out there and you're a notable writer, and you start to expose this octopus, this Jesuit-controlled octopus of world power, you invoke their wrath, and they will take you down unless you have the protection of the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, namely the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And Lauren Monet, she doesn't know the Lord, although she's doing right things in resisting this as any decent individual should do. She goes on, she talks about antenna technology, and she talks about this Linda Pisti Basil Kateri, who says she's Iranian and she's part of noble bloodlines. And again, substantiating her claim that the bloodlines are above the Jesuits. Well, that's simply not true. The Jesuits have absorbed all the royal bloodline families under their control. Nobody tells the Jesuit Superior General what to do. He is advised by 10 assistants presently, and he gets reports through his provincials and assistants all throughout the world. And as Michael Tamburini said, it's from this place I rule China, and nobody knows how 'tis done. The Jesuits have an international system of intelligence, which E. Howard Hunt says was the foremost system of intelligence in the world, foremost to the CIA or any other people. So I want to, then he went on to talk about Castro, that Fidel Castro was related to royal bloodlines, but Fidel Castro was educated by Jesuits for 7 years. Okay, he's a Jesuit advisor was Father Armando Llorente, a Jesuit. All these political leaders are advised and overseen by Jesuits. Hitler had his Jesuit advisor. One of them was Martin Bormann, a Jesuit temporal coadjutor. Yeah, Joseph Stalin, he had his advisor. That was Alexander Pskrivishev. You have Stalin, he also has Molotov. Molotov was telling Stalin what to do. You had Churchill being told what to do by Anthony Eden. You had FDR being told what to do by Harry Hopkins. All these political leaders who are in high-level secret societies, because Stalin was a Freemason, Churchill was a Freemason, FDR was a Freemason, Dirty Harry Truman was a Freemason. All these secret society lackeys are controlled by the Jesuits through the leaders of their secret society or by Jesuits themselves. Like FDR was controlled by Edmund A. Walsh. He essentially was advising FDR what to do. He was a powerful Jesuit at Georgetown University. So the Jesuits are always involved in ruling the political leaders of all nations, and that includes the royals of all nations. That includes Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, who died a few years ago, she was run by the Jesuits. It's Queen Elizabeth II. You have other of these monarchs. You have Kaiser Wilhelm II during World War I. He was ruled by the Jesuits. He's the one that brought the Jesuits back into Germany after they'd been expelled in 1872, thereabouts. He brings them back in 1917. All these royalists, all these royal families were humbled in the 1800s and then put back on their thrones and then were ruled by Jesuits, ultimately to be removed in the 20th century and replaced with Jesuit socialist communist democracy, or communism. All of them having military dictators and camps whereby they're rounding up people and killing them. So the Jesuits have perfected their international system of intelligence. All the intelligence agencies work together, and there are certain nobles that participate, like Alexei Romanov. Alexei Romanov never died. He was never killed by the Bolsheviks. He went on to be in the secret police of Poland. And this is proven by Alan Stang and some of the works of the John Birch Society years ago. So the nobles are subject to the power of the Jesuits and their agents. Any one of them that get out of line, they will be removed from office or terminated. The Jesuits are the ultimate Terminators. They run the CIA. They run the Mafia. They run the KGB or SVR or FSB today. They run Israeli intelligence. They run British intelligence. They run Pakistani intelligence. They run the German BND. They run all the intelligence communities, MI5, MI6 of Great Britain. They run them all. And they run them through their secret societies. So there's no royal that's going to stand up and resist the Jesuit order, or there's no group of royals that are going to tell the Jesuits what to do. All you need to do is go back to 1815 in the Congress of Vienna after Napoleonic Wars, and all those monarchs got together and decided in the secret treaty of Verona in 1822 that they're going to do away with the United States because it's a hotbed of liberalism or free thought or freedom of conscience, and we can't allow that. Why, the greatest people of Europe will come into the United States. It'll be the greatest nation in the world. So there's a conspiracy, a white race conspiracy of white nobles serving the papacy to destroy a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization in America. As I've always taught you, the greatest men in the world are white, and the most evil, wicked men in the world are white. White supremacy for good, white supremacy for evil. Period. End of story. Can never be disproved. So, we go on to Laura Monet's interview. Talked about radiation polluting the world. And we have nuclear waste is being put underground. And this is pitiful because Brown's gas machine can neutralize radiation. And it's not allowed to be produced. Remember that. It's Brown's gas machine neutralizes radioactivity and radiation. But we're not going to develop that. We want all these people sick. We want to weaken the population of the nations, especially the white Protestant nations of Western civilization, so that they're not a problem for us anymore. And we'll make sure we give them phony Bibles based on corrupted texts. I recommend Chris Mipinto's work, A Lamp in the Dark, and another one he has where he shows that the Sinaiticus manuscript was a forgery, and he proved it, along with David Daniels. They ought to get medals for that. And that's the basis, that's one of the manuscripts, it's a basis for all these corrupted Bible versions, when the Jesuits were corrupting the Protestant churches to depart from their Reformation Bibles. So, we go on. Talks about destroying the planet. There's no doubt. First of all, the Earth is not a planet. The Earth is a plane. The Earth is with highs and lows, with mountains and valleys, but it's not a globe. The Earth is not a globe. Nobody can prove that. Science proves that it's a plane. And there are many excellent scientific works on that. One of them is called A Terra Firma by David Wardlow Scott. And I have several more, but this ridiculous Newtonian nonsense that the Earth is a globe and that gravity holds the water to the Earth is not scientific. There's no principles that illustrate that, but unfortunately there's people who use the term global, 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 and Laura Monet uses the term global. We'll forgive her. We go on. It talks about antenna, Harvard, University of Michigan. And she also talks about University of Michigan being a Rockefeller Center. Well, just, it's true. University of Chicago, was a Rockefeller University founded by the Rockefellers. But who did they work for? You think these Rockefeller brothers had all this power in and of themselves? Or that they could pay thugs to keep their oil monopoly in place? The Jesuits ran the Rockefellers. And I want to show to you a quotation, or read to you a quotation from a book called John D. Rockefeller and His Career, written by Silas Hubbard in 1904 and reprinted in 1912. And we read from this work, John D. Rockefeller and His Career, page 107, chapter 25, Formation of Standard Oil Trust. The oil regions were conquered and its people were employees or slaves of Rockefeller. The latter now turned his attention to the further consolidating of the great organization through which he had achieved so much. The multitude of sub-companies that were by this time wheels within wheels, that's Ezekiel, that's what a cherubim looks like wheel within a wheel. Wheels within wheels of the great parent corporation had to be welded the more closely together. In 1882, he formed the famous Standard Oil Trust. Now, this is when the Jesuits, with their robber barons, are creating an empire, a Masonic empire, run by the Jesuits, out of what was once a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant limited republic. The law that changed this was the 14th Amendment, 1868. That's the beginning of the nationalization of the country, with national citizenship for both whites and blacks. And so now we're going to realize that Rockefeller is one of the robber barons, and there's a great book called The Robber Barons, written by, I believe, Josephson. That was his name. All the main families, the Vanderbilts, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, all those white, wicked, Freemasonic sinners establishing monopolies in their various areas, whether it be steel or oil or farming or what have you, because they're making this empire for the Pope so that it can be used with its military to conquer the world, to reduce all nations to the temporal power of the Pope. That's what's happened, especially since 1933, when emergency war powers military government was imposed by FDR with Proclamation 2039 on March 6, 1933, Congress approving and confirming these proclamations on March 9th, and then the final proclamation, Proclamation 2040 on March 9th, continuing the Proclamation of 2039. So we have military government ruling an empire with every facet of an empire, and it's been this way since 1933. But before that, the Jesuits were busy using their robber barons to build their empire, and we have to get rid of the American Indian nations. I just read a terrible story on General Howard when he was chasing the Nez Perce Indians to, 40 miles from the border of Canada. And it's a terrible, evil, white devil who's supposedly a Christian general. And King Joseph, the head of the Nez Perce, says, if you hadn't done this, General Howard, we'd have never had a war. It's all about destroying the Indian nations and building an empire from sea to shining sea. And that's what they've done. And Rockefeller was a part of this. So the Jesuits are going to build a huge military-industrial complex. It's going to need oil. So their Rockefeller family, their Standard Oil Trust, will provide the oil that they need to power the naval ships and the armies on the various foreign battlefields for the next 100 years, all to restore the political power of the Pope of each nation this military government goes to war with. So we have the formation of Standard Oil Trust. In 1882, he formed the famous Standard Oil Trust. It had a capital of $70 million and had as managers 9 trustees. These 9 trustees held the title to all the property owned or controlled by the trust. Each state had its own Standard Oil Company, but the central trust managed everything, received all earnings, and paid out dividends to those who held trust certificates. This trust, the mother of all others, was organized by S.C.F. Todd. He was an elaborate but excellent piece of machinery. It was an elaborate but excellent piece of machinery that enabled John D. Rockefeller to still further strengthen his position, aggrandize his power, and achieve greater conquests than had yet fallen to his lot. In 10 years, his company had grown from a $1 million concern to a $70 million trust. It was a great achievement for a man still in the very prime of life, and it foreshadowed political and financial triumphs without parallel in human annals. Now get this. John D. Rockefeller was in his 43rd year when in 1882 he framed the great organization known as the Standard Oil Trust. The creation of that trust put the coping stone to his achievements. It gave him a leverage for administration and execution unknown before in the commercial history of the world. Rockefeller had indeed framed a commercial organization similar in many respects to the great organization founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Catholic Order of the Jesuits. The Jesuit order has lived through nearly 4 centuries of stress and trial and storm, and at the end its influence is felt in every hamlet and city throughout the civilized world. The general of the Jesuit organization lives in Freisel. Now this is in 1904. With him dwell a dozen lieutenants, who are called assistants. This is the governing body of the order. It is the duty of the assistants to sift the mass of correspondence which accumulates every day from every quarter of the globe, and to counsel and advise with the general in the administration of the affairs of the order. The Jesuits are preaching and teaching in every land and clime beneath the sun. And every member of that great order looks to that little council chamber at Freisel for guidance and direction. The general's orders are more faithfully and unhesitatingly obeyed than the orders of Napoleon were obeyed by his old guard. The Jesuit who today is the head of a great college in Spain or in Sicily gets a telegram to report for further orders to the father of the Indian mission in Patagonia. An hour suffices to pack up his belongings, and without murmur or hesitation, he is off by the first train or steamboat to spend, perhaps, the rest of his days laboring amid savages. No more for him the social life of a great university in renowned romantic lands. No more the sweet associations of a lifetime. One word and he parts with all of that forever, and henceforth exile and inhospitable climes are his. There are probably 25,000 Jesuits scattered over the surface of the globe. Every one of them is ready at a moment's notice to go to any spot upon the earth to which the general bids him hasten. That general commands the best discipline and the best equipped and the most skillful army in the world. I will read that again. The general commands the best disciplined and the best equipped and the most skillful army in the world. The character and talents of each member are known. His special talents are carefully and laboriously developed, and each is employed in the way suited to his special talents and character. And so perfect is this great organization that, though its members are of every tongue and race, except Jews at this time in 1904, in 1946 Jews were formally admitted to the order, but every tongue and race, it moves along, achieves mighty victories, and accomplishes vast results in every age and in every land, and yet it affects it so silently that the world hardly hears or knows of its existence, like the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. Who ever knew, who ever wrote that it was the Jesuits doing this? I covered this in my book, Chapter 35 of Vatican Assassins. The general lives a silent and secluded life. He has before him concise reports from every spot on the habitable globe. He knows intimately the moral, social, religious, and political condition of every race and tribe and people upon the earth. His assistants are equally well informed. They have all been chosen to aid him because of their superior learning, knowledge, talent, and virtue. There is no council member in the world where so much wisdom, sense, judgment and enlightenment prevail as in the council chamber of the Jesuit general. And in every country and in every province of the earth, there is a smaller council and a provincial superior. In North America, we now have four provincials. That subordinate provincial body is in constant touch with the general at Freisel and governs each province so as to meet with the approval of the supreme head. There is a strange analogy between the Rockefeller organization and that of the Jesuits. The objects aimed at are, indeed, far different, but the machinery of both is singularly alike. John D. Rockefeller is the general, the czar, the dictator of the Standard Oil Trust. He has his supreme council. They are not called assistants to the general, but trustees. That Supreme Council has its correspondence in every hamlet and village of the globe. The accumulated commercial knowledge of the Rockefeller Council of Nine surpasses anything ever known before. Each member of that council was chosen not for his learning or his virtue, but for his experience, his special knowledge, and above all for his success as an executive officer and a moneymaker. When Rockefeller first grouped that council together, his one aim was to be sole, complete, and entire master of the petroleum industry of the world. He wanted to gather the oil at the well and keep handling it till he put it in the lamp to burn or sold it as candles or as lubricants, unquote. The Standard Oil Trust was a creation of the Jesuits, a creation of high-level Scottish Rite Freemason John D. Rockefeller, because the Jesuits do their most spectacular feats, perform their feats with secret societies, and most of them Freemasons. So I want you to know, Miss Lauren Monet, Lauren Moray, that the Jesuits rule the world, not the Iranians. That's nonsense. The Jesuits run all the royal families, whether it's the Medicis or the Pallavicinis or the Aldobrandinis or the Contis or the Orsinis, all of them. They're all subject to the Jesuit order, and they dare not ever resist the power of the Jesuits, lest they get the Kennedy treatment, or lest they get the Yitzhak Rabin treatment, or lest they get the assassination treatment, King Faisal. They are the great assassins of the world, and they will take out any political leader that opposes their wishes and plans for that particular country, unless that man or that woman is protected by the risen Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the Jesuit aim to rule the world, we have it in this tremendous work called The Jesuit Conspiracy, The Secret Plan of the Jesuits, written by Abbot Leone in about 1826, but it's finally published in 1846. It contributes to the expulsion of the Jesuits from France in 1848. But we read here on page 181, "Let us strive to combine the calmness of reason with the fire of enthusiasm. Christ, who saw the germ of so many splendid truths, teaches us that in order, quote, to make ourselves master of the strong man, his house and his goods, we must first bind him, unquote. Let us therefore become perfect in the art of loading the proud and the powerful with chains. Let us lay to heart this maxim as the rule of all our efforts. One sole authority, that of Rome. One sole order, that of the Jesuits. And since our age does not boast a single mind capable of aspiring to universal empire, for kings have enough to do to retain a hold upon their petty kingdoms, which are slipping from their grasp, let it be ours to aim thus high, while empty heads are dreaming." So here again, the Jesuits aspiring to universal empire in this great work, The Secret Plan of the Jesuits. Here's another book titled Popery, Puseyism, and Jesuitism by Luigi De Santis, written in around 1870. Page 139 under the chapter, letter 15, Jesuitism continued. Page 139. "At what then do the Jesuits aim? According to them, they only seek the greater glory of God, ad majorem de gloriam. But if you examine the facts, you will find that they aim at universal dominion alone." There are 28 Jesuit universities in America. Their game is the same: universal dominion alone. Do you think they've used the American people and American blood and treasure to that end? Oh, I know so. At least since March 9th, 1933, and probably before that, with the first American emperor, Theodore Roosevelt, in the Spanish-American War. The Jesuits want universal dominion alone, and they will use any nation or empire to facilitate that. And they've used the American empire for the entire 20th century, going into the 21st century, as Henry Robinson Luce, the founder of Time Life and high-level Knight of Malta, Kennedy assassin, was the one to coin the phrase the American century, which was the 20th century. And so they've used our people, our nation, our country to control Russia, Europe, China, and thus have universal dominion over all these presidents, all these dictators in the world. I don't know of one president that is not controlled by the Jesuits. There were a couple of black presidents in Africa that were killed when they opposed the homosexual agenda down there. They got rid of them. But the issue is that, hey, if you're not protected by the risen Son of God, they're going to kill you if you resist their designs. They aim at universal dominion alone. They have rendered themselves indispensable to the Pope, who without them could not exist, because Catholicism is identified with them. They have rendered themselves indispensable to governors and hold revolutions in their hands, just like the one going on right here, right now in America. Don't you think for one second they don't control Donald Trump? Just like, don't you think for one second they control Joe Biden? They control Biden, Trump, heck Seth, Bibi Netanyahu, all these leaders, they control them all. And it's like a big chessboard where they control both sides of the game, and they know which move to make because they know who they want to have win and who they want to lose, have to lose. Tremendous game. That's why G. Gordon Liddy said when he was at Fordham, he says, it's the Jesuits who rule the world, and then they enjoy it. That's in his book, the autobiography of G. Gordon Liddy. Get it. Read it. Yeah. So, goes on. And in this way, either under one name or another, it is they who rule the world, who have reduced it to such perversion of ideas that he can neither be a good citizen nor a good Catholic who is not a Jesuit. Unquote. Page 139. Popery, Puseyism, and Jesuitism by DeSantis. Friends, they rule the world. Back in 1870. They rule the world back in 1848. Although set back with the Second French Revolution, they still ruled the world, and they came back after that even more powerful. So, the Jesuits rule the world. Let's see what the great Eugene Sue says. Now, Eugene Sue was a Frenchman, tremendous writer. He was a mariner and a physician, and he wrote probably one of the most effective books against the Jesuits ever written. It's called The Wandering Jew, written in about 1846. I want to read to you a portion of it. We read on page 313 of The Wandering Jew. Quote, "It is true," said the Marquis, after a moment's silence, "what ought not to be sacrificed in order to reign in secret over the all-powerful of the earth, who lord it in full day? This journey to Rome, from which I have just returned, has given me a new idea of our formidable power. For, Hermania, it is Rome which is the culminating point, overlooking the fairest and broadest quarters of the globe, made so by custom, by tradition, or by faith. Thence can our workings be embraced in their full extent. It is an uncommon view to see from its height the myriad tools whose personality is continually absorbed into the immovable personality of our order." It's kind of like the Borg of Star Trek. You will be assimilated. It is futile to resist, assimilating all their enemies. The Jesuits are the Borg, half man, half machine, dressed in black. See, that's exactly what Gene Roddenberry had in mind when he wrote it. But going on. "What a might we possess. Verily, I am always swayed with admiration. I almost frightened that man once thinks, wishes, believes, and acts as he alone lists, until, soon ours, he becomes but a human shell. Its kernel of intelligence, mind, reason, conscience, and free will shriveled within him, dry and withered by the habit of mutely, fearingly bowing under mysterious tasks, which shatter and slay everything spontaneous in the human soul. Then do we infuse in such spiritless clay, speechless, cold, and motionless as corpses, the breath of our order. And lo, the dry bones stand up and walk, acting and executing, though only within the limits which are circled round them evermore. Thus do they become mere limbs of the gigantic trunk, whose impulses they mechanically carry out, while ignorant of the design, like the stonecutter who shapes out a stone, unaware if it be for cathedral or bagnio, or house of prostitution. Unquote. That's the Jesuit order. That's the way it was in the 1800s, mid-1800s. That's the way it is now. A huge, massive, unbelievable, far-reaching military order whose soldiers are in absolute obedience to their superior, and those underneath them in absolute obedience to them, as they presently rule the world and are now taking down the United States, or driving us into the new right so we can have a two-front war. And it's not the Jews that are doing it. The Jews are stupid compared to the intellectual prowess of the Jesuits in combination. The Jesuits have 28 major universities here. Resources to all the other universities in the world, including Gregorian and Rome. There's nothing outside of their grasp. They have the greatest library in the world called the Vatican Library, where there's 50 miles of shelving underground under the Vatican. They have all that at their beck and call as they're governing the world and reducing the nations to absolute temporal power of the Pope, the final Pope of Rome to be the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So this is how they rule. And that's out of Eugene Sue's The Wandering Jew. We read from James A. Wiley's great work, The Jesuits, Their Moral Maxims and Plots Against Kings, Nations, and Churches, 1881. James Atkin Wiley, from Kissinger's Legacy Reprints. We read, Expulsion, chapter 15 on page 72. So expulsions and suppression of the Jesuits. So long as the Jesuits struck at Protestantism only, the governments of Europe cared but little for the matter. But when it came to pass that in three-fourths of the countries of Christendom there were no more Protestants to slay, and the Jesuits began to aim their blows at all authority which stood betwixt them and their final goal, which was the assumption into their own hands of the government of the world, the indifference of governments gave place to alarm. So what's their goal? Assumption into their own hands of the government of the world. Jews don't run anything. The Iranians don't run anything. If there are Iranians involved in ruling, they're a Jesuit provincial. But it's not because they have any bloodline that puts them above the Jesuit order. The Jesuits run all the bloodlines. The bloodlines are desperately afraid of the Jesuit general of the Black Pope, because the general works for the devil. And the devil rules the world through his Jesuit order, as it in turn controls the Roman papacy, as it in turn controls all the priests and archbishops and cardinals and bishops, as they in turn control political leaders of the countries. It goes down that way, and all the secret societies ultimately subject to the Black Pope. Laura Manet also talks about breeding of the bloodlines, which we know is the case. And that's why after a certain amount of inbreeding, they become sterile. They can't breed anymore. She talks about Kuhn and Loeb, which is a Jewish firm involved in the Bolshevik Revolution, but she doesn't talk about Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, as does Anthony Sutton. Okay, because Wall Street controlled and ran or financed the Bolshevik Revolution, aided or overseen by the Jesuit order. That's why Edmund Walsh went to Russia from 1922 to 1924 and set the government up for the leaders at the time, one of them being Joseph Stalin, who was trained by Jesuits. Goes on, she talks about these bastards from the illegitimate union of these bloodlines, and they make their bastards leaders of countries like Fidel Castro and others. She talks about Monaco, Prince Rainier, Grace Kelly, more papal knights and dames serving the Jesuit order. She talks about Urban Shield. It was a military campaign. Foreign troops coming to urban areas, which I have taught for many years, that America is to be invaded by a Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. And she's talking about this back in 2016. I was talking about it then also. She talks about George Soros. Remember, George Soros is a papal court Jew. He does what he's told by the Jesuit order, but he's great for publicity because then the Jesuit agitators can say, look at those dirty Jews, George Soros and all these other Jews, why they run the world! Jesus Christ said that Jerusalem may be trodden down by the Gentiles to the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and the times of the Gentiles has not been fulfilled. In fact, we're coming to the most horrible, terrible Gentile ruler yet, who will be the beast, the Antichrist, of which, of course, the church will not be here. We will be departed out of here before that man of sin comes to power. But that's the culmination of Satan's mystery of iniquity and the culmination of the times of the Gentiles ruling Jerusalem. We go on. She talks about secret treaty of Verona. We talked about, she talks about the looting of the gold out of the Far East by the Japanese army. She quotes that tremendous work, Gold Warriors by Seagraves. And mentioned the 175 treasure vaults in the Philippines where the Japanese put all their gold that they stole from the Asian nations. There was a Buddha that weighed 2,000 pounds of solid gold. They melted it down into ingots, and they put it in these treasure vaults in the Philippines. For writing that book, a husband and wife team was murdered. And then the Jesuits would take this gold and use General Yamashita's gold to finance communism, to finance the communism, the Cold War on the part of the Asian nations, and to finance the American battles into Vietnam, Korea, Southeast Asia, to reduce the manhood there so it would not be able to resist a Chinese supremacy, which is what the Jesuits want, a complete and total red Chinese supremacy. So, she talks about that. She talks about the role of the Jesuits in Asia. And this is it's called the Servitors of Empire. Dark Side of Asian America. And it's by Dr. Hamamoto, who was a teacher at UC Davis. And I would recommend the book. I'm going to get it and read it. But there you find very few people going into the Jesuit power of the Far East. I had a book given to me on the Jesuits in Vietnam. Fascinating. They ran Nam under the French. They ran Nam under the Americans. They run Nam today. The whole American debacle in Vietnam was to kill white American men, particularly Protestants, particularly Southern men, and to kill the Vietnamese manhood there, some nearly 5 million of them, to weaken Vietnam so it could be united under Ho Chi Minh's communism, subject to Mao Zedong or the communism in Red China. So there'll be a huge red communist bloc in the Far East, which will make up what will be the kings of the East when they will invade across the East into Israel towards the end of the 70th week of Daniel. It's all being prepared. And we see it happening. And it's all being prepared by the Jesuit order. So Laura Monet concludes that it's the Iranians who rule, and which is her basic error. It doesn't go beyond the Jesuits, Lauren. They rule. And you know they rule. So let's not look anywhere else, and let's start to do something about it, like calling for the expulsion of the Jesuits out of the United States. How about that one? And the Brits can call for the expulsion of the Jesuits out of the United Kingdom. Because after all, the Jesuits have brought the Muslims in here to commit all their crimes to drive unthinking white men into the new right. And there's a new right developing in England right now. The white men being suckers by the intelligence community, using the Muslims with all their crimes and terrible things they're doing there to them and to us, into the new right. And that's the end game. And by the way, I just saw in the book Gold Warriors that the gold that the Japanese collected together, the American military government took charge of, and lots of it went to the new right. We read on page Roman numeral 10, author's note. The charge was brought by 21 financiers, commercial lawyers, and politicians of the far right, many of them major stockholders in large Swiss banks, They accused Ziegler of being an accomplice of Jewish organizations who extorted vast sums of money from Switzerland. So they're blaming the gold here. Blaming the Jews, pardon me. Goes on page 11, Roman numeral 11. In this book, we do not question whether President Truman did the right thing in keeping these war gold recoveries secret. That is for others to debate. What we point out is that the total secrecy enabled corrupt people to abuse the resulting slush funds, and these abuses have multiplied like a cancer ever since. A global network of corruption has grown around the slush funds. Bureaucrats, politicians, spooks, and generals have become addicted to black money. There are indications that a lot of this war gold has been siphoned off by America's far right under the guise of patriotism. Yeah, the far right's coming here. The new right's coming. It's financed by this Asian gold, you know, 50, 60 years ago. So who runs that? The Jesuit order, not the Iranians. And that's why we need to call for the expulsion of the Jesuit order of the United States and the trial of the traitors that have served them in the wrecking of this country. And the only way that's going to happen is if there's repentance and faith. Repentance for our sinful lifestyle and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And with that, the Lord will begin to hear our prayers, begin to step in to protect us, raise political leaders to help us, and ultimately someone, some group of men, to resist the Jesuit order to get them expelled out of this country. Will you help me? Will you pray for me? I trust this has been helpful to you, Brother Nick, with Dr. Lauren Monet. Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, on this May the 23rd, 2026. Send your gifts to rbpbchurch@comcast.net or rbpbdonate@comcast.net for PayPal. Or you can send it to Cash App at #, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Or you can send an old-fashioned check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you as you serve him according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Until next time, Lord bless. Maranatha.